Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, this is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 138.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, three Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barajabort crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I am joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you listening to our website at horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest this evening, he's been riding races professionally since the young age of 14. He found great success in California, winning 6 leading rider titles at Hollywood Park, 3 at Del Mar, 2 at Santa Anita, and also he was leading rider at Keeneland twice. He won the Dubai World Cup with Animal Kingdom and the Kentucky Derby with Orb, both in 2013. And with 2,569 wins and counting and over $179 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Joel Rosario. Joel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So great to finally get you on here, Joel. I've been dying to get you on the show. Can't wait to hear your story. And tell us, let's start off by, like I mentioned in the intro, you've been riding races pretty much, you know, since you could do anything, and you grew up in the Dominican Republic.
Yes, I grew up in the Dominican Republic, that's where I started riding horse racing.
And did you grow up in a racing family?
I grew up in the, you know, in my town where I grew up, you know, my parents, they have, you know, horse, like just riding horses was not like a racing horses, stuff like that, you know. So that's where I grew up, and that's how I learned how to ride. And then I become to be a thoroughbred horse rider after I went to school in Santo Domingo. I went to jockey school, and then that's when I started riding.
And how old were you when you went to the jockey school?
I was 14 when I went to jockey school. 12, I mean.
12. Sorry.
When I went to jockey school, and, you know, I went to learn how to really ride the thoroughbred, and then that's when I, you know, become to be a thoroughbred rider.
Oh, what was the school like? We've had several riders here on the show who went to the Puerto Rican Jockey School or the Panamanian Jockey School, but I think you might be the first person I've talked to who went to the school in Santo Domingo. Tell us more about that program.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a program. They teach you, you know, how to be really, you know, how to ride a thoroughbred, and they teach you some other stuff too in school, like, and, you know, as a young age I was, and then, you know, stuff like that. So it was really a very good experience for me to become, you know, to become a horse rider. Like, learn everything about the horses, and then, you know, the faster horses, because the thoroughbred, they're faster. So, and then stuff like that, yeah.
So then you started riding, as you mentioned, at the age of 14 there in the Dominican. And mm-hmm. How is it different there versus here? What's different between riding in the two different countries?
Well, it's different because in Dominican Republic, the racing quality is a little bit different than here. I can be the same, but it's just more horses and stuff like that. When you come, for example, when you ride in the racing like the Kentucky Derby or stuff like that, it's a little bit different because you have more horses in the race, and then you have to deal with more, staff doing the race. It's just different, they don't have a turf race over there, so it's kind of different too. Because when I came to America, I never put a horse in the grass,
That's something you have to get used to for sure, yeah.
Yeah, you have to get used to it, and then, I think you have to go with the horse, but it's just different. It's different when you ride in the dirt and when you ride in the grass, yes, I agree.
And when did that opportunity present itself for you to move here to the States?
Well, yes, it was back in 2006 when we went to California, and then, with some friends there, then that's when I started riding over there. Yeah,
so did friends basically convince you to come on over to this country?
Yeah, I went to Puerto Rico, and then I rode in Puerto Rico. It was for special only races, like big races, the Caribbean Classic and stuff like the Jeffrey Challenge that they have at that same day and stuff like that. And then, we went to California, and then that's what I started. I have people that really helped me out there, and then, I appreciate that, and that's what I started.
Did you find instant success as soon as you moved to California?
Actually, it was taking a little bit of time, I used to work a lot of horses, in the morning, get up really early and stuff like that to try to get in. Horse, it was a little tough because I come from, for example, like Dominican Republic, they have horse racing, but a lot of people they don't know here in the country about that. So it was a little hard, and then for me to start. But I worked really hard, and then, I just trying to just beat. And then work out really hard to see what will happen.
Well, you didn't have to wait too long, Joel. 2008, you're winning graded stakes left and right, and you're definitely finding great success, as I mentioned. 6 riding titles at Hollywood Park. That's incredibly impressive, not to mention the others. But when did you decide then, after you found all the success in California, when did you decide to move to the East Coast and why?
Well, I won a lot of races in California, and I was doing well, and, like I said before, a lot of people really helped me out there, and then, to give me a lot of opportunity to, ride the horses, and then I was doing really well, and then I always talking with my agent that I have, Ron Anderson, I know him since I was in California, and he told me one day, maybe one day we work together. And, I decided in 2012, I was doing really well then, and, he called me and he told me about if I wanted to come to New York. And then I said, yeah, let me think about it, why not? And then, take a little time to do that, and finally, one day I said, yes, I'm gonna just move back over there, and then maybe we're gonna start working together.
I read an article, Joel, that when you first moved to the East Coast, couple of trainers and owners talked about how you rode like a West Coast rider. And now, obviously, you know, you ride like an East Coast rider, I guess, since you're on the East Coast. But what are the differences? Why would someone say that based on your riding style? And what was that specifically?
Well, it's the pain, you know. I think it's sometimes it's the pain on the horse. And I think you know, the horse will tell you exactly what you want to do. And then, and it's a different, you know, the way the jockey right here and the, you know, where I am now on the East Coast is different than what the guy in New York is. Because how the track, how the turf or the dirt, the way the race set it up and stuff like that, so they are different.
Joggy Joel Rosario joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Joel, unfortunately, we only get 30 minutes with you today. We'll have to come back to you and do another show sometime in the future. But I want to move right along here, and I want to talk about what I'm sure is one of your favorite memories of all time, and that is winning the Kentucky Derby with Orb.
Yeah.
And I find it very interesting, that story, because you rode Orb in his first five races, and there was an issue there where you almost didn't get to ride him in the Derby. So tell us that story and what you thought of him as a 2-year-old and how that all happened.
I rode him the first time out in Saratoga. Actually, he was really nervous, you know, the gate and stuff like that. So the first thing that he did, he just jumped up in the air and then he just missed a break. And I was back there, like, I was like 30, at least 20 or 30 lanes behind. And then it was staying so long. And then he, you know, he made a lot of ground. He sent it third. It looked like turning for home, he was going to win the race, even with that far back he was in the beginning. And then, and he finished third, and then, we thought it was a very impressive race. And then, you know, it took him a little bit of time after he went back, you know, a couple of times, and I rode him, and then, you know, he had some, like, same, you know, gate issue, and you know, he was a little nervous when he got to the gate, and then, then after he learned how to really, you know, run, and I rode him, and he broke his maiden, and then it was fine. And then he went to the next race again. And then and it was a long race in Florida. And he looked very, you know, like he was what he was doing and stuff like that. And it was a long race. And then after that, and I think my agent, we rode another horse, and it was coming for a big race. I think it was running in the Grade Two or Grade One Equestrian. And then he would rode the other horse, and then Johnny rode him, and then he won the race. And then after that, Johnny rode him again. He went again. He beat me again. I said, I think I'll rode another horse. Mm. And then, well, the Florida Derby, then that was when Johnny rode him. And then after that, I think Velasquez was committed to ride another horse. And we got back in him for the Kentucky Derby. So that was very, very special, you know. And then, you know, Schumacher, he gave us the opportunity to have him back, so I was, you know, we were really happy with that, and we appreciate it from him.
Forgive my lack of memory, Joel, but was that your first Derby?
Yeah, it was the first, yeah. That's the first one that I won, yeah.
That's pretty impressive. First time riding the Kentucky Derby and you win it. And everyone I talk to here on the show who's ridden in the Derby, who's won the Derby, they talk about walking out onto the track during the post parade and hearing my old Kentucky home, and how they almost get teary-eyed and they get goosebumps because it's just such a special moment. How did you feel in that moment?
Well, it was a very special moment, because a lot of people, we don't know me, a lot of people, not everybody who, you know, who was involved in the horse race, and you know, as a owner, as a trainer, as a jockey, as anybody, you know, we wanted to win the Kentucky Derby. So that's why this race is very special. And then, you know, when I passed the wire, I was passing the wire. And I know by the last 16 pair, I know he was going to win. And then but you never know. But like, when I passed the wire, then I was really happy. And, you know, that was a moment I would never gonna forget, because I said, wow, I won the Kentucky Derby. So that's the biggest race, you know, for anybody can win.
Can't even imagine the feeling, Joel. And at what point in the race did you know you had the race won?
I know when I turned him for home, he was moving really well. I was catching a lot of horses, and then he was moving forward. And I know after I passed the triple, he had a good chance to win. But, you know, you never know, because sometimes they moving well, and then some getting the point that they change and stuff like that. But, and especially him, he was a horse, so when he took the lead, he's kind of just waiting a little bit on horses. And I was never, you know, a lot of confidence, but I know he was moving well, you know, doing, and, you know, when I started making my move after the 3-year-old, I know he was moving better than everybody, but, you know, sometimes it happens and you don't get there. So I was never, with confidence, I say, I know I'm going to win and stuff like that. I would just ride him and then just play the race that I was going.
Did your parents watch? Were they there?
Say that again?
Were your parents there for the Kentucky Derby?
No, they were there, but they were watching. They were in Dominican Republic. Yeah, they were watching. So that was very exciting for them. Yeah, they were really happy.
Any nice 2-year-olds you're getting on now, Joel, that you think could take you there next year?
Well, we hopefully, you know, you never know, because, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to, you know, to get a horse into this race. But I think we'll be having a couple, so hopefully we get one to compete there.
Let's talk about another big horse on your resume, Joel. Animal Kingdom. Obviously, you won the Dubai World Cup with Animal Kingdom in 2013. And there's an interesting background story there. Obviously, Johnny Velasquez was riding Animal Kingdom, but had to take off to ride Wise Dan in the British Cup Mile. And then you eventually picked up the mount. And I guess, you know, didn't have a great trip, and the horse didn't run, I guess, as expected. And then you go to Dubai. And how are you feeling heading to Dubai? Were you confident with your chances? What were you thinking heading towards that race?
Yeah, I was very confident. I know he is a good horse. He ran the dirt, he ran the turf. Then he ran the poly track too. So he, you know, asked for that. But, you know, I know he won the Kentucky Derby, and then I rode him, and I really liked it. I thought he's a really nice horse. He got beat by a really, really, really good horse when I heard him in Gulfstream. It was the point of the entry. And then I would like my confidence, you know, in those races, you never know, because, you know, you have all the, you know, top horses for him everywhere. And then, you know, it's a tough race to win. So I know I have a lot of confidence. He was one of the favorites, but, you know, you never know. So, but I really thought, you know, I really have a lot of confidence. I mean, I thought he was, you know, really had a good chance to win the race.
And he did so with ease. Mm-hmm. And describe that race to us and your plan going into it.
Yeah, it was, you know, I remember Graham told me, you know, before, after the race, you know, just let it, you know, be comfortable, and then, you know, let it seem like we're maybe going to be close in the race, close to the pace and stuff like that. And he broke well. I was in the outside. He went very nice. In the first turn, everything went perfect. And in the back, and the guy by the when I get to the backside, he was like laying really like second there. He was like, and I was traveling really nice and comfortable. And then And then I remember I was following Roger Delta. And then before turning for home, he went for a point and he just already, without me moving and stuff like that, he just went to the lead and then he was galloping. That was a very impressive race that he ran.
Yes, as you said, very impressive. And tell us a little bit about that entire experience and what was Dubai like? I've never been myself.
Well, Dubai is beautiful, you know, and a lot, you know, they treat you really well there, you know, Sheikh Mohammed, he do a really good job, you know, taking care of you, a lot of people, they take care of you really well, and then, you know, that's experience that you never, you know, you go there, you never forget. And, you know, that's just everything that's, you know, beautiful, and, you know, just, yeah, I was just happy to just to be there, and I ended up winning the race, so that was very great.
Jockey Joel Rosario joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Joel, I'm looking at all of your graded stakes wins here at the moment, and if we were to talk about every single one of those, I think we'd probably be here all day. So, instead, I'm going to, you know, I mean, the names here of Tonalist and Bobby's Kitten and Stormy Liberal and Tourist, just so many great horses you've had the chance to ride. Who, in your opinion, who's your favorite?
Well, I think they're all my favorite, really, because, you know, I love horses and stuff like that, but, you know, but when they come and stuff like that, when it's come to say, okay, who's going to say going to get my favorite, you know, just winning the Kentucky Derby and the Dubai World Cup, it was very special, but I love horses, you know, so they all my favorite.
Good answer. Good answer. Joel, watching you ride, I really admire your patience on the back of a horse. I think you always seem to move at just the right time. But I'm wondering, how would you describe your riding style?
Well, I describe my riding style. I just trying to figure out the horse what he likes to do. Then I just ride the horse the way he, you know, I think he's really comfortable, and then, you know, whatever he wants to do. You know, I think if you're riding a speed horse or like horse that comes high, I think that when you break out of the gate, they exactly told you what you need to do. And sometimes we learn a lot, you know, the horses, they want to be racing more early or move a little early or stuff like that. You know, it's just something that you learn and do in the race. But I think I just go with the horse and kind of figure out what he likes to do.
You're riding at the most competitive circuit around there in New York. And what is it like? Describe to our listeners what it's like in the jocks room, going back after a race. Sometimes tempers are heated. What is it like being surrounded by your competitors in the jocks room?
Well, you know, everybody is very competitive. You know, we have a lot of good jockey, you know, around here, and then, you know, everybody, they're very competitive into the races, so you gotta go there and give you, you know, you have to ride the best of you have, because, you know, they are not a good jockey around here in New York. So, and to be around them, then they all my friends, you know, like stuff like that, but when you come into the race, you know, they know really like your friends, so you really have to, you know, work there and try to do your best.
I'm sure you have to also keep in mind the safety is a factor out there as well, and so I'm sure you all have each other's backs at the same time.
Yes. We do. We trying to do the best we can, you know, to not happen, you know.
We only have like 3 minutes left here, but I want to know, what are your future goals? You've already accomplished so much, but what do you want to accomplish in the future?
Well, I think I would think I have to do a lot. I think we, you know, I didn't win a Cups Award or stuff like that. You know, I think a lot of big races I haven't won yet. So it's not, you know, we just have to keep working hard and then hopefully, you know, we get chance to win one of them, you know, we're coming.
Joel, if a young kid came up to you today and they had aspirations of being a jockey and they asked you for advice, what's the biggest piece of advice you would give to them?
I think you need to work hard and, you know, dedicate yourself and, you know, just go day by day and then, and you know, someday you're going to have a tough day, some other day you're going to have a, you know, like that. So you just have to just keep them going and just, you know, don't look back and just, you know, keep work hard. I think it's that's my main thing that you have to do. I think in general in life, it don't matter. It's, you know, because the horse racing and stuff like that, I think in general, you think work hard and stuff like that, I think it's very important.
1 minute left. Last question here. And let's end on a lighthearted note here, Joel. What do you do for fun?
For fun, I play golf. I like to play baseball. You know, I can't play baseball really now, but, you know, I play some softball and stuff like that. Yeah. I like to do some fun stuff.
Are you very good at golf?
Well, I know. Not really, you know, but I like to play.
Well, I'm terrible, so I don't play, so I'm sure you're better than me, Joel. Sure.
I don't know about that.
Well, Joel, we are all out of time, but hey, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening, and I will be seeing you at Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs in November, and wishing you all the best.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. While you're there, check out all of the other great shows you can find here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like Trainer Talk, Equine Forum, Express Bet Radio, just to name a few. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigle, and thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use the monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Pena of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, this is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I am joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219 XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF is a wonderful organization that provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest tonight, he's currently riding the Kentucky Circuit, was previously leading rider at Lone Star Park, and he grew up in Louisiana. His father was one of the top quarter horse jockeys in the nation. He was the regular rider of 2017 Texas Horse of the Year, Texas Chrome, after winning both the Grade 3 Super Derby and the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby. With 842 wins and over $18 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey CJ McMahon. CJ, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great, CJ. So excited to have you here, and can't wait to hear your story. So you're a Cajun boy. You grew up in Louisiana.
Yes, ma'am. In Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it seems to be a place where they grow jockeys there. It seems to be a lot of very successful jockeys are from Lafayette, actually.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of influential and great, you know, great jockeys on and off the track, you know, great people as well.
And why is that? Is it such a big culture there?
I think family oriented, you know, and, you know, if one of us make it, you know, we feel like we all have a chance to make it, you know, so, and it's always, I mean, that's the way I look at it, you know, and it's always been like that for my whole life.
When you were obviously surrounded by it, given that your father was a quarter horse jockey.
Yes, ma'am. My grandfather was a trainer for 30 plus years. Now my uncle is a trainer.
So it's in your blood.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you remember the first time you sat on the back of a horse?
When I was 2 weeks old. I mean, I don't remember, but I've seen pictures, you know. When I was 2 weeks old, I sat on, I think, I Hear Symphony, maybe.
It's pretty incredible. CJ, 2 weeks old already on the back of a horse. So did you grow up going to the racetrack, cleaning stalls, grooming horses? Did you grow up around it?
Oh, yes, ma'am. That was my first job for my grandpa. you know, clean dolls first, then grooming, then it went to doing everything, you know, galloping, grooming, and cleaning stalls, and then in the afternoon, you know, running stalls, getting hay, getting feed, going to get rice hulls, you know, in the afternoon, working from 4 in the morning until, you know, whenever everything's finished, you know, the last horse is fed and done up.
So you were a horseman before you were a jockey, basically. You learned from the ground up. And what was it your grandfather taught you about that was maybe most important to you, that was about working around horses?
Never give up and never get lazy, you know. Just keep working, stay consistent, you know, and stay committed, you know, and keep faith in God and everything's gonna work out, you know.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have one older brother.
And what does he do?
He works for Halliburton, and he graduated from U of L and University of Lafayette in Louisiana. And he just got married a few weeks ago. So congratulations to him again on that.
Nice. So he did not follow in your footsteps then. So did he grow up around doing the same type of thing as you? Did you guys work together in the barn?
He's 8 years older than me, but yes, ma'am. He firsthand, you know, just like I was. But he's more interested, you know, in sports and in football and basketball, you know. And he kind of, once he got into middle school and high school, he got into the weights, you know, and kind of blew up from there. And I was always small and just around the horses, you know. I just worked, you know. I wouldn't worry about eating it, you know. I would eat, of course, but, you know, I wanted to be around the animals.
What about you? Did you play a lot of sports in school?
I played basketball a little bit, but other than that, no, ma'am.
I'm guessing you weren't one of the tallest players on the team.
No, ma'am. For sure. That's for sure.
And obviously, you were always small. So when did that idea come to you that you wanted to be a jockey?
I always said I would be a jockey, but I never really took it serious until maybe the eighth grade, and I really started, you know. I'd already knew how to gallop, but, you know, I would gallop every now and then, you know. I didn't really take it as serious as I did that summer, you know. And then I breezed a few thoroughbreds, and, you know, I liked the longer adrenaline rush. So that's when I decided I, you know, wanted to ride thoroughbreds. But before then, I was on quarter horses. That's what I learned on.
What's the difference? Obviously, quarter horses just have so much speed. But what's the difference as a rider for you riding quarter horses versus thoroughbreds?
Quarter horses, they tend to keep you on your toes a little bit more, you know, because they move quicker. But, you know, as far as training and, you know, that goes, quarter horses, they take everything a lot slower, you know, easier, per se. I mean, rather than, you know, thoroughbreds, they train for stamina, you know, they go longer, but, you know, a lot quicker.
Now you gotta give us a brief history on your father. He was such a successful quarter horse jockey. I'd love to hear a little bit more about him.
What would you like to hear?
Well, you know, what big races did he win, and where did he ride primarily?
Primarily, he rode in Louisiana and Texas circuit. In 94, he won the champions jockey challenge in at Remington Park, and also he rode I Hear Symphony that year and won the All American Derby, and also he rode her in the Champions of Champions at Los Alamitos, and from what I can remember, you know, not looking at any paper, but from 97 to 2003, you know, he was top, you know, top 10, you know, in the quarter horse jockey standings, you know, all around.
What did he think of your decision to be a jockey?
He never forced me to go one way or another. You know, he always, you know, if I wanted to learn, you know, he always, whatever I wanted, you know, he made it happen, you know.
Did he coach you in the beginning? Did he teach you any tricks of the trade?
Oh, most definitely, yes, ma'am. I mean, before he let me, when I was learning how to gallop, he made me stay in the round pen, you know, on horses while he would go. He'd go around with babies around the track, and the round pen would be in the middle. And he'd have me going around, you know, doing figure eights or whatnot. And, you know, that's when he finally let me out. You know, after 6 months, I did that. And he let me out and he let me gallop, you know, and then went on from there, you know.
Did you find that it came natural to you?
Yes. Just being from riding the pony all the time before I started galloping. So I had a feel for a horse, you know. And I trusted and I just love horses, so I wasn't worried or scared, you know, anything bad would happen.
What about your mother? I read that she was a jocks agent and worked in the racing office, and obviously she was aware of the dangers of the sport. So what was her opinion on your chosen profession?
My mom, she's currently a claims clerk and entry clerk at Evangeline Downs. And she was my dad's agent for 18 years. And she didn't really have, you know, a push one way or another either. You know, their main thing was that I finished school, you know, and that was the only thing that they, you know, had stipulation, you know, that if I wanted to ride, I had to finish. So I homeschooled from there. And here I am, but my mom has been one of my biggest supporters for sure. And I love her to death.
Did you like school? Were you a good student?
Yes, ma'am. For the most part, I like school, but I didn't like, I don't know. I'd rather be by myself and do schoolwork. You know, I got distracted easily. So I found homeschooling was a lot easier for me, you know, to get things done. Because I knew once I got finished, you know, with my schoolwork, I can go out and play with a dog or go to the barn.
So you were homeschooled then when you started riding races professionally?
No, ma'am. From the eighth grade until I graduated a year early, so till the 11th grade.
And so that obviously gave you more freedom, as you mentioned, to do what you wanted to do. So how old were you then when you took out your jock's license?
16.
You're 16.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you remember your very first race?
I can't remember the horse's name, but I do know it was for Windy Hills Farm. And the race was a mile and a 16th.
And how'd you finish?
I think I beat maybe two horses, but it was an experience I wouldn't forget. You know, I was so nervous, you know, because the race was so long and, you know, I wanted to do so good.
And did you catch on pretty quickly? Did you start winning races right away?
I think I rode maybe 70 horses before I won my first race.
Wow.
And, I mean, just from not winning, you know, almost getting there, you know, just made me want to win that much more, you know. And, you know, once I finally got it, that's all I wanted after that.
That had to be frustrating to go out there time after time after time and get so close, and you were just waiting for that one winner. And then when it finally came, CJ, when you finally won your first race, do you remember how it happened, and did they initiate you after the race?
Yes, it was aboard Peter's Valentino, the jacket backer, and he left the gates on top, and He did everything, you know. I just had to stay on. And when I got back to the jocks room, the guys grabbed me, you know, but I didn't really put up a fight. Because I knew, you know, the more you fight, the more into it they get. So I just kind of let them, you know, do their thing. I wasn't much fun. So I didn't get it too bad.
Jockey CJ McMahon joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So that was at Evangeline Downs then, CJ, when you won your first, where you won your first race?
Yes, ma'am.
And how long did you stay riding that circuit?
I rode there for 3 years, I think, altogether. I rode there 2 years, my first year, of course, second, and I went back there for another meet.
How did you do with the bug?
With the bug, I did very well. You know, I had a good agent, Tony Martin, which I owe a lot to. You know, he taught me and got me on horses and into stables, you know.
And who were your mentors in the jocks room?
Ravi Alvarado, my father, of course. And just, you know, a lot of jockeys, you know. I mean, too many to name. You know, but I definitely appreciate every one of them that has played a part in my career.
Whose riding style, especially back in those early days, did you admire the most, that you wanted to, you know, copy certain things they do in a race? Who did you look up to the most?
Robbie and Angel Cordero and Johnny Velasquez.
And so would you spend a lot of time watching replays in those early days, really trying to perfect that riding style?
Yes, just different, whatever the technique may be, you know, I try to maybe take something from this one and this one, and, you know, put it into my own thing that I do, and, you know, if it works, it works. You know, that's kind of how it is, and if If not, you know, I don't try too much. I try to stay the same, you know, because you get to try too much things, then, you know, good things don't always work out. So I try to stay consistent in what I do, you know.
Right, you don't want to try too hard. That's when, like you said, things don't work out. You make mistakes or whatever when you're trying so hard. That's exactly right. But I want to talk about now. We referenced the bug, and obviously you get a weight allowance when you start riding races to appeal to trainers. For you, was that difficult maintaining such a low weight?
No, ma'am. I've always been, you know, light, you know, small bones, and my dad is the same way, and my mother's small as well, so it hasn't been too much of an issue then or now.
So take us through a typical day. What do you eat? What's your regular diet, and do you work out in addition to getting on horses?
Yes, ma'am. I ride the a bicycle, you know, at the gym, because I broke my leg in 2011, and I don't jog on it too much, but I, you know, try to stay pretty tight, you know, by doing that. And I might eat maybe twice a day. You know, I'd wake up, go to work, come home. I might eat maybe some toast when I get home, and maybe some grilled fish or something that afternoon. But, you know, I don't really snack that much, or, you know, I try to be as disciplined as possible, you know, when it comes to that.
CJ, I want to take a moment and talk about the fact that you are a minority in racing. You're African-American, you're from Louisiana, and I dealt with that a little bit as a woman in the sport. Do you feel like, have you had any resistance because of that? Have you had trainers just refuse to ride you because of your race?
If they have, I don't know about it, you know. And I try not to look at, you know, at it as being, you know, somebody against you or something like that. You know, I want to be, at the end of the day, I want to be taken as a good rider, you know, rather than just a good black rider, you know. And because it's more than that to me. You know, it means more.
Do you want to? You feel like you have more to prove because of it? Do you feel like you want to make history because of it? I mean, honestly, since I was reading the statistic. Since 1922, only two black jockeys have ridden in the Kentucky Derby, Marlon St. Julien and Kevin Krieger. That's a very small number. So for you, do you have these bigger goals because of it?
Yes, but I mean, that would be an honor, you know, to be listed, you know, amongst those guys. But in general, I would like to make history, you know, just, you know, from whatever it may be, you know, I want to be the best that I can be, you know, at it, and, you know, reap the benefits at the end of the day if I'm blessed to see it, you know.
Well, CJ, let's take the next couple minutes here we have left in the show to talk about, I would think, your favorite horse, Texas Chrome, who you had so much success with. As I mentioned, you won the Oklahoma Derby in 2016 and the Grade 3 Super Derby in 2016 as well. and actually rode the horse in the Breeders' Cup. So he had to mean a lot to you. Such a great experience at the Breeders' Cup. It was your first ride there. And tell us about the horse. What was he like to ride?
Grom, he definitely holds a special place in my career for sure, and in my heart. He's a pretty laid back horse, you know. He knew when it was time to breathe or do something, and he knew when it was race time as well. And then you'll go in the stall, and some days he might, you know, be loving, and then some days, you know, he's playful.
I know I was really impressed with the ride, especially in the Oklahoma Derby, CJ, when you split horses and then you were down on the rail dueling it out and got up for the win. It was just such a masterful ride. And take us through those moments in your mind during that stretch duel. Did you know you had the race won?
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. At the head of the lane, you know, I knew I had some horse underneath me, and I knew Rosario had horse as well, so I knew whatever move I would make, you know, I had to be 100% committed, you know. And when I tipped out at the quarter pole, just to give my horse room to swap leads, and you know, if I dropped down, you know, I wouldn't put anyone in a bind. And when he swapped over and I seen the spot, you know, kind of when I seen the hole open up on the inside, you know, I shot for it. And once he noticed, you know, I was there, I was a half a side there. And Chrome, you know, the heart he had was tremendous, you know, and he fought on for me. It was a great experience.
We have just about a minute left here, CJ. Tell us what it was like for you to go to the Breeders' Cup.
The Breeders' Cup, something I'll never forget. My mom, my brother, my fiance, and my brother's wife now, all flew out with me, you know. And
it had to be just, I'm sure, overwhelming. Just, I'm sure you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And, you know, unfortunately, Texas Chrome didn't win that race that day. But I'm sure something you're hopefully looking forward to do again in the near future.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I'm sorry. I was lost for words, you know, because it just meant so much, you know.
CJ, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. And again, wishing you all of the best in the future. Hope to see you in the Warner Circle Breeders' Cup. And thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. While you're there, check out the other shows like Trainer Talk, Equine Forum, and Express Bet Radio. Join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thank you for listening.